The kind of thirst we're talking about is how much goodness do we really want in our relationship with God? Do we want to be really good, or we just want to be partially good?
The church is one foundation.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
Gracious and loving God, beautiful are your words, wonderful are your words, and beautiful are you who preach those words that we get to hear and take into our lives and understand how to put them into practice. So be with us in this time that we have together this day, that we might hear your words, that we might understand your words, that we might take them out and experience them and help others to experience those words as well, not just as words, but as daily practice for our everyday lives. We ask and we pray this then, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Glory to him.
Jesus gathers the folks on the hillside in Tiberias and begins to preach to them over that next almost four chapters in Matthew. Gives them important words of instruction, and we're going to spend some time now over the next several weeks finishing up the Beatitudes and addressing some of those subjects that Jesus talks about in chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew. So I want to go back a little bit and review the Beatitudes that we've already done, but let's hear those words from Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3 through 6. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Well, what seems like a dark age ago, back before Advent, we talked about those first two Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And we talked about, in case you've slept since then, I suspect you have, and may have forgotten a little of what I said that day, or maybe you weren't here and didn't hear what I said that day, but we think about that, blessed are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We think about that poor in, maybe in terms of monetary wealth, and it's really not that at all. It's where are we in our relationship to our spirit with God? Are we rich in spirit, or are we poor in spirit? And what it really deals with, very simply, is living not for the anticipation of the kingdom of God that's going to come near, but realizing that we're already living in. We're living into the kingdom of God. We're living in that anticipation that God is already near. God is already with us. We are also going to inherit the kingdom of God when we die. But we're also living in that moment right now. And so the question becomes, where are we in our spirit? Are we rich in our spirit with God? Which may not mean that we have a lot of stuff, but we have a lot when it comes to our relationship with God. And then, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We think about that. But this scripture is not so much about mourning our losses of those we love, but really mourning who we are in our human condition and the fact that we each have, and you've heard me say this before, we each have a human condition. Each one of us has a different one. That's how we live in the world and what our life looks like and how we choose and make decisions. And this particular beatitude deals with how do we understand our sin? How do we understand and have sorrow for that which we have done, which has wronged God, put us in bad relationship with others, put us in out of relationship with God? And so we need to mourn that. And but the nice thing about it, if we don't just mourn it, we can have forgiveness. We can move forward from that. We don't have to just stay stuck and be in the state of weeping and gnashing ourselves because we've been such awful people, but we can go beyond that. We can say, I need forgiveness, and I need to move on, and I need to repent. And Jesus says when he begins his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. So he makes a way for us to be able to move forward and not just stay in a spot, if you will. So then when we move to the blessed are the meek, we're looking at a life of God controlling our life. Now, meekness does not imply that you're just going to lay down on the floor and be at somebody's doormat. It also does not imply that you're going to be overzealous. It's that finding that spot somewhere in between. I don't know how many of you deal with anger. Some of us deal with anger one way differently than another. Some folks just fly off the handle and spew out all kinds of things and say all kinds of things, and after it's over with, we go, oh dear, what did I just do and what did I just say and how do I fix that? And then there are others who couldn't get mad if their life depended upon it. If the worst injustice in the world were standing right in front of them and they had a right to get angry, they just couldn't do it. They're just not made that way. But finding somewhere in the middle of that, finding someplace in the middle where you can have righteous anger, appropriate anger, and knowing when and how to use that anger in an appropriate way. humility, if you will. Humility is that ability to learn something, but yet not think you know it all. Now, last week I talked about those things that we kind of get in our way that we like to pick because we enjoy them, and I talked about those little square ink pads. Now, I don't profess to know everything there is about rubber stamping and card making, because I've certainly got a way lot more to learn. But part of humility is being able to say, I don't know that much about that. Maybe I can learn. Rather than saying, oh, I know all there is to know and there's nothing else I need to know. We all hopefully continue to be students of the way of God. We never reach a point where we say, I know it all. I know all that God's got in store for me. There's nothing else I need to know. And I'm finished. I've arrived. Wesley would say to us, we're always going on to perfection. We've never reached perfection in this life. We're moving into it. And so we ought to always be in a place where we have something we have yet to learn. And that's part of humility. Saying, I don't know everything. I don't attempt to know everything. And so, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Have you ever been so hungry that you just wanted to eat the whole thing? You can put in that blank what it was. The whole enchilada, the whole steak, the whole loaf of bread, the whole pan of brownies, the whole pie, the whole whatever. Or you were so thirsty that you could have drunk the whole tank of water. It was just that bad. I remember the first time we went up to Masada in 2009, I got to the place where I could have drunk a whole trunk of water because we got up to the top of Masada and there was a very severe dust storm. I mean, to the point that didn't matter how many things you had on and how much you had things buttoned up, closed down, tightened up, and had yourself covered and away from the sandstorm, you still had sand in and around and on everything that you had and in your mouth and in your eyes and everything. And when you got down off the top of the Masada, you just wanted to drink for hours and hours and hours. That's not the kind of thirst we're talking about. The kind of thirst we're talking about is how much goodness do we really want in our relationship with God? Do we want to be really good, or we just want to be partially good? Now, sometimes we can be so good about certain things, and then something else comes to us, and we just can't do that. You know, you may be able to do a lot of things well in your relationship with God, but then it comes to, well, I'll give you a good example. I've told you before, I try to be pretty good about most things, but when it comes to those things called tattoos, God and I are still working that one out. You know, I'm still working on that one. You know, and there's a new commercial on right now on television, and it's one of those reality shows, and it's about girl. I don't know where this takes place, but they're called Tattoo Girls, and they have a tattoo parlor somewhere in the Midwest, and they advertise these folks on this show that I haven't seen the whole show, I've just seen the ads. But there's one fella that's got tattoos all over his face and his nose. I mean, it's just crazy looking. And I just have to nearly turn around and not look at that when I see it come on, because it's like, no. But that's one of those things that I have to struggle with, because God continues to put those folks in my place for me to learn how to live with, to learn how to live around. Wouldn't be my lifestyle, wouldn't be my choice, wouldn't be my decision. But that's one of those things that I have to wrestle with. That's one of my levels of goodness that God challenges me with. You may have something else. You may have a difficulty of being able to sit and listen to someone tell you a story, and you think, there's just no way this person could have this much trouble, and just close your ears off to that and just not even be able to hear what that person is saying and not be able to have compassion with them. You know, we all have some level, we all have some place where we just have to say, I'm not there. I can't be there. And so we have to decide for ourselves where is our goodness quotient going to be? Is it going to be wholly moving toward God? And some of that we have to continue to work on. It's that going back to, we're moving on to perfection. We may not ever completely get there in this life. That's the beautiful, wonderful part about our understanding of grace, is that God's grace is with us from the very beginning, and God's prevenient grace, God's been there from before we ever knew God. And then we have the opportunity to make it right, to justify it, to say yes to God. And then we have that wonderful thing called sanctifying grace, and that grace that continues to allow us to continue to grow and become better each and every day. And that's that goodness part. We continue to grow. We continue to understand who we are in relationship to God, and continue to work out our salvation, if you will. Work out our relationship with God. Will we be perfect? Probably not, but we can be working on it and working toward it, that we might inherit that thirst, that desire for righteousness, that desire to be willing to repent of our sin, to understand our sin, to understand our need to be humble, our understanding to be somewhere midline in our emotions, not be all the way out here or all the way over here, but be somewhere in the middle so that they don't just tear us apart, and then be working toward that state of righteousness, that working toward perfection that God calls us to be in. Will we be perfect? No. But that doesn't mean we have to let it get us down. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. That includes the pastor. I'm a human being first and foremost. But if we know where we are, if we know where we're headed, and we know what we're dealing with, and we know the issues, we can continue to hammer those out and sort those out. And we can work alongside one another. We were talking, I think, a couple weeks ago downstairs about the word accountable. Now, we don't like that word very much a lot of the time. We don't always like to be held accountable, but sometimes that's what we have to do along the way in the journey. We have to hold one another accountable. How's that working for you? How's that going? Have you thought about trying that or this as opposed to? And when we come at it together, when we walk together in it, it makes the journey a lot easier. It makes the journey a lot better. It makes it a lot more satisfying than when we try to live it by ourselves. We can do it on our own, but it gets lonely for one thing, and we don't have anybody to keep an eye on us and to ask us how it's going and to walk alongside us and to put an arm around us when we're stumbling at times. We need one another in the journey. So how's your soul today? How's your sin? How's your state of humility? And how is your goodness? Are you on your way to whole goodness, or are you still just sorting it out? Hopefully you're working it out, and you're working in the direction that God would have you to move. Amen. Now may God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and go with you this day and always. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.